kids, it's time for Notcast, the solo show. I'm Severin, and I'm the only person here this week. Well, there's a good reason for that, though. Further confusion is this week. Fuzz and Tyrion and a whole bunch of other Fur Planet folks are out there in San Jose, so say hi if you somehow download this before you get to the con. And since Furry Fiesta is super close, Siva is off working on the Fiesta staff polos. She's solo producing them, and with the con so close, this is crunch time for her. I'm Saverin, and we're not going to go a week without doing a show. And since we got some really good emails this last week, I'm going to read them. Yeah, I'm going to be hoarding them like that, because I'm just mean, I guess. In cool news for Fiesta, I have acquired a second CRT via the time-honored tradition of dumpster diving. And it works. It's like a 27-inch Sanyo CRT. Flat front, so it's at least not like a million pounds. But this way we can actually play some of the old-school Vidya that I've picked up for this year in proper aspect ratio. I have an N64, which has a 21-inch CRT or so, and a GameCube, which will be playing Brawl, because that's the only game that people want to play, on that. Which also means I'll have some extra, like one or two potentially extra 32-inch monitors for people to be able to bring their own stuff. And people usually do. Gives a little bit of flexibility to people who want to come and play Vidya that I don't necessarily provide. And other great news, I am super excited for Fiesta. The hotel is completely full. And we are just going to get... It's so big. You know, we're going to cross 2,000 easy. And it'll just be interesting to see just how big we get. So... here is where I'm going to insert an email jingle, and then I'm going to get to the emails, because I'm here doing the show myself. I can do that.
Message for you, sir.
Well, I certainly hope you guys enjoyed that, because, again, you have to have drop-ins. So we got about a half dozen emails this week, and all of them are pretty good, so I'm just going to run through them and give my opinions, and if my co-host wants to give feedback on it, they can certainly do it next week when everybody's back in town. In the meantime, you'll just be getting my opinions. I hope you guys can handle that. The first email we have this week is an anon ask via our Tumblr. You can find our Tumblr at notcast.tumblr.com. We don't post that much. That's where you can find the downloads for the show, and you can always ask us anon questions. That way, you know, you don't have to send us an email with your name attached or anything. We keep confidentiality on things that are sent to us, but for some people that are paranoid, this is an extra layer of anonymity. So, the first anon this week asks, curious minds are inquiring, has anyone ever shipped the cast members slash guests together in a literary slash visual slash audio ways? It's happened to other podcasts before, see Greatest Movie Ever, and it seems like your podcast genre would be susceptible to that sort of thing. Well, as far as I know, we have not. I have gotten fan fiction for other shows that I've done, but generally, since all the cast members have mates and partners, or husbands in Fuzz's case, people haven't really done that. Now, people are welcome to. I mean, I'm sure that someone can totally write a bitchin' not cast orgy fic. You've got two dudes and a chacat, you know, with all the fun bits. Toss in our mysterious partners, and, you know, it's a good old orgy. But I don't think anybody's actually done that yet. We joke about it, but we keep our paws to ourselves, generally. Just saying. But what happens at FurCons stays at FurCons. The next email is from Linty Platypus, which we don't have... It's another one of those fantastically rare fursonas. You know, we have pangolins and platypi and... neat critters that are not necessarily well represented in the fandom. So we shall start. Hello, Notcast! I hope you're all doing well upon the completion of your respective holiday rituals. In my case, the caterers were 3 hours late for Christmas lunch, which meant my immediate family had to eat some cold meats in the dining room by ourselves so that we could leave to go to my mother's family for dinner just as lunch arrived. As the subject suggests, I have just attended my first ever real furry con in the form of Convergence Melbourne. Uncle Kage was there, whose alcoholism quickly endeared him to the Australian audience. I found a narrow opportunity to establish personal rapport due to my degree in science and by supplying him with a modicum of alcohol. Two, the ranting griffin was also there, as was Telephone. Who? Anyways, oh my god, she is the closest this planet's infestation of apes will ever come to focusing cuteness into weaponized form. Why can't I quit you, Telephone? I'm afraid I don't know who that is. I guess I should look them up. I also managed another milestone in my progression from being a simple lurker. I commissioned an artist to make a badge of my hitherto non-existent character. The very first piece of art depicting my platypus alias. It was also something of an eye-opener for me, in that I still have a few milestones to bridge on a personal level. Wanky, wanky, word, word. Item 1. Learn to drink. Item 2. Learn how to suppress the butterflies in my stomach such that they do not threaten to tear out of said stomach while carrying my intestines with them. Item 3. Learn how to balance the desperate, lonely need to be touched with the crippling, soul-crushing fear of contact and self-loathing. Baby steps. Hope you're all well and the very best for 2015. Linty Platypus. Well, congratulations on making it to your first convention. That is always a step in the right direction. Hopefully you made some friends and some contacts to hang out with, hopefully, in your area. And going to your first convention can always be very intimidating. My first convention was, I believe, ACON. Back in, it was ACON 13, I believe. It was over in Northeast Dallas, 75 and 635. And I didn't know anybody. I was like, I want to go to this anime convention because anime is cool. And I went by myself and was terrified. I could barely talk to anybody. I couldn't talk to the vendors. I couldn't talk to people. I didn't know folks. It was pretty scary, honestly. And I was there the whole day. But I survived. And I started going to conventions more regularly. I've been attending ACON for many years now. I go to Anime Fest. I go to Furry Cons, of course, Furry Fiesta, Furry the Confusion, Anthrocon, been to many pony conventions, and just some other random ones. Like, in a week or so, we're going down to PAX South, which is going to be quite the... Well, I'm actually going to be kind of scared, because ACON is currently the biggest con I've ever been to, and it's 26,000 people, but this is fucking PAX. PAX Prime has like 120,000 people, PAX East has 80, and PAX South is taking up like the entire convention center in San Antonio. There's going to be a ton of people there, 50,000, 60,000, I don't know. But, you know, thankfully I'm going with friends. Shiva and Saro and a couple other folks locally are coming. So it's certainly not like I'm going into that lion's den by myself. But, you know, conventions are a learning experience. And, you know, learning to drink, that's a questionable goal. You know, enjoy your drink, but don't get falling over, knocked down, drunk, because bad things can happen. Just saying. Suppressing the butterflies in your stomach, that's social anxiety. Really, it's your first con. It's going to happen. The only real way you're going to get into it is by getting around large groups of people and just interacting with folks more. Practice, in this case, does make perfect. But I believe you can do it. You know, anybody can. Well, unless you have, like, really crippling social anxiety, but we'll just gloss over that. And how to balance the desperate, lonely need to be touched with a crippling, soul-crushing fear of contact and self-loathing? Well, again, that's something that comes with time and being more familiar with folks. Again, I hope that you made some friends here at Convergence Melbourne. That way you can actually interact with some more furs. You can interact with people locally that aren't in a massive convention environment. You know, go to their houses, go have drinks, go have meals, hang out, get to know these people better. And, you know, the fear of contact and self-loathing should balance out the need to be touched after time because you'll be comfortable with these people. And, you know, who knows? Friends with benefits sure are pretty cool. So good luck with that, and hope you keep on listening. The next email is very short, but more or less pointed directly at me in a lot of ways. From Rand the Bat, he asks, "Hello, Notcast. Everyone knows the Brony fandom is based around the show My Little Pony, As members of the fandom, can you please explain why everyone is so in love with this show? I have not seen many episodes, but from the outside looking in, it's like a children's show with not a lot of adult humor that would attract a following of so many men. I'm not sure if this is the topic for the week, but it is something I've been wondering. Well, honestly, Pony started out as a... Well, I wouldn't say it was a joke. It was something that the folks on 4chan noticed because people started throwing shit at it out of the gate. It was a reboot of a classic franchise on a new channel, and people started making assumptions right out the gate that, oh, Lauren Faust was making this. Oh, it's racist, sexist, smart shaming. It's all this terrible bullshit from idiot internet feminists. And that's really the only reason that it got noticed in the first place, because Lauren herself wrote a retort that basically blew the fuck out of the original author who had written that bullshit. So in a large way, a lot of the original watchers of the current series started it almost out of spite, because anything that could get a rise out of idiots is worth a look at sometimes. You know, we can see that most recently in The Interview and that whole pile of shit. Personally, I thought the movie was dumb, but I'm also a big proponent of freedom of expression. And all the bullshit around the release of it and or not releasing it and the terrorism and blah, blah, blah. Basically, it got eyes on it. It's the Streisand effect. But as for Pony, it started as kind of something they're looking at and going, huh, this is weird. All right, whatever. But, you know, a lot of animation fans watch Lauren's stuff, Powerpuff Girls, watch Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic is basically a cute girls doing cute things show. Except the girls are cartoon horses. It's a cute, non-cynical show that people can sit down and enjoy. It's mental popcorn. And for a lot of people, they like that. And why do dudes like it? Well, dudes like it in addition to women and girls. It's a major fucking thing for Hasbro. I mean, they sell a fuckload of toys. They're the primary market is still women and girls, but there's this weird little outlier. And the only reason it's anything of note is that there's dudes that like a little girl show. There's lots of chicks that like Transformers. There's lots of, you know, we had this happen with Young Justice. That show was a DC Comics cartoon that did really well with female demographics. And it got canceled because it wasn't toyetic enough and not enough boys were watching it. So it's basically the reverse of, oh, girls watch this too? It's boys watch this? And, you know, people like, oh, it's the gender role thing. You know, it's a good cartoon. If you like that sort of thing, you can sit down and watch it. And it's cute. And it's a little funny. And sometimes there's songs. And if you really dig that kind of cute shit, it's a good show. You know, and there's other shows that are similarly girly, like Hell, Littlest Pet Shop, which, you know, I didn't like. I didn't like the character design, whatever, but there's still fans of that. And it's sort of the same generation of TV, that same, you know, same bit of time. But it is not nearly as prevalent as the whole brony thing. As for why it blew up, fuck if I know, honestly. Basically, it got out there. People liked it, ironically or unironically, and now there's merch, there's shirts. It's a thing. It's a sub-fandom. It will eventually be subsumed within the furry community or people wander off to anime or whatever, but it's a single-show fandom that's going to be around for a little while longer. I mean, hell, Gargoyles had their fandom for like 12 years, right? It was a boys' cartoon, but the show only got 3 seasons. Pony's going into 5, so its fandom will probably last a little bit longer. It'll be interesting to see how it eventually evolves. So, I mean, the bottom line is cute cartoon girls doing cute things, except the cute girls are basically cartoon horses. And they make a lot of jokes with that, and that's just a thing. People question it pretty heavily, but, you know, why do people like things that they like? They just do. They don't necessarily have to justify it. Anyways, I think that's enough on that topic. This next email is a follow-up from last week's show. We had a non via Tumblr ask about opening his relationship to bisexual experimentation. And this very generous SO has emailed us this week. Why, hello, it starts. I am the significant other of the Tumblr Anon who wrote into your last show because he wanted a dude to play with but was afraid to tell me. Of course, he had nothing to worry about. If it's dicks he wants, dicks he shall have. He should have seen how much he was blushing when he told me. He's such a cutie. :3 Anyways, thanks for giving him the audio courage. And thanks for existing in general. I just realized I've been listening to you guys longer than I've been in this 5+ year relationship. Now we listen to the show together and it sparks a lot of great sex discussions that we might have been too shy to start on our own. You guys really are the best. A very small and shy, anonymous cat. That is really cool to hear. We always like getting follow-ups from folks that write in like, hey, you know, I want to do this, but I don't know how my partner's going to take it. And, you know, our general advice is communication is key and let them know that, you know, this is your interest. And if they're not cool with it, then you can't really explore it. But if they are, this is a situation where it worked out, where the dude's girlfriend is like, sounds hot to me. And now he's going to get that opportunity to explore that side of his sexuality. Communication is key, folks. Just lay it out there. And if it's not going to fly, it's not going to fly. But at least you tried. And I wish you guys all the luck and all the fun you guys deserve. This next email comes from Erez de Gazelle. Hello, Notcasters. Love podcasts! !! I listen when I can, usually when I'm doing experiments. I am a biotechnology student who will soon be moving to the West Coast to pursue a PhD in cell and molecular biology, like curing cancer and stuff. I have two issues that I would like to hear you guys talk about. I don't know any furs who think on the same scientist wavelength that I do. Hear me out and please let me know if I sound like an elitist. I am very good at what I do. It's what drives me and it's what I want to build a career on. For the most part, local furs, especially those around my age, I am 22, don't share my motivation, and I have felt sort of a maturity rift develop between my peers and myself. How dispersed is the entire fandom as far as personality types and success, by any measure, go? And were there any times in which you felt like it was time to move on and find new friends? So we'll pause here and answer that. So the North Texas furry community is kind of fractured. There is... my furry circle is primarily older people. We're all generally 25 and older, most of us in relationships, and we don't have a lot of interaction with the younger side of things. We're the folks that run the convention so that the young furs can come get laid. I do understand your concern, though, because, yeah, at 22, you sound like you're really smart, and that's great, and I wish you all the luck with that. You don't need luck, you got skill, you got brains. But, you know, good luck with that. And I do understand sometimes that it can be a real challenge. Somebody who's like, well, I'm, you know, I'm an engineer. And someone's like, well, I'm 22 and couch surfing. There's a big difference there. And while some people would accuse you of being an elitist, sometimes, you know, you don't want to be around people that don't necessarily want to talk about the stuff that you're interested in or bemoan constantly being poor or they need a better job, et cetera, et cetera. And that's pretty common at people your age. You know, you are an outlier. You're going to get your PhD in molecular freaking biology. And that's really cool. So sometimes it does take effort to find a local sphere that works best for you. And it does mean going out into the local furry community, meeting a bunch of different people and finding out who clicks. Finding the older folks, the people who are educated, the people who are interested in science. In my circle, pretty much everybody is in a tech-related field. I'm the huge statistical outlier here is that I'm a stay-at-home partner, I do audiobooks professionally, and I do shows like this. You know, I don't have a lot in common with the folks around here professionally necessarily, but because we're all an older, more mature group, we get along pretty well. So yes, there have been times in which we've needed to prune the group some, but I will say that I have been lucky and have not needed to find a new group of friends, at least here in DFW. Moving on to the second half of the email. Secondly, how does one establish themselves in a new city as a furry? I have a few local friends here in Florida, but when I move, I want to try and embrace the community because I do know from so many sources that there is a lot of good people in the fandom and some incredible, interesting, and incredibly interesting people among the ranks. I guess I'm just really nervous. Sincerely, Irez, the Gazelle. P.S. Do really like you guys. Hope to be writing more in the future. Well, we hope you do too. So, establishing oneself in a new city is both difficult and not so much. It depends upon your level of social anxiety. One of the good things is that if you're moving out to California, the West Coast, there's Portland FIRS or Seattle FIRS, there's NorCal SoCal. So no matter where you are, there's going to be a pretty decent population of FIRS. You've got NorCal SoCal furry cons, you've got a Portland furry con, you've got Rainforest up in Seattle. There's lots of opportunities for lots of FIRS to get together on that side of the country. Additionally, there are things like meetup groups and local forums. Here in Texas, we have Lone Star FIRS. And through that, there's lots of local meetups. You can find there's Arlington Fur Meet, there's a Dallas Fur Meet, there's a Plano Fur Meet, there's a Fort Worth Fur Meet. There's lots of fur meets just in DFW. So it shouldn't be too hard to find furries in whatever municipality you find yourself in. That does require a little bit, again, of overcoming social anxiety. But, if you want to make friends, you got to step out and make the first move. Also, attending the cons that are in your region, wherever you end up, is always a good step. You'd be like, oh, hey, I'm in the area. And people are like, oh my God, you're a new furry. And you might meet some more people that are at least, if not necessarily your peer in age, at least your peer in professional maturity. One would hope. And I hope that answered your question. Our final email of the week comes from an anonymous clarinetist tiger. Hello again, Nodcasters. To begin, I should probably include a wall of text warning as a courtesy to the resident L-shaped one. I wouldn't want to cause a total catastrophe from Shiva tripping over what I'm about to relate. I have been personally doing well with my own life as of late, though I dearly wish I could say the same for a friend of mine in Tennessee. He and I had a falling out recently, and I know that it's my fault, but I'm not quite sure how to fix things with him or whether I should do anything considering the circumstances. To provide a bit of background, he and I have several things in common. Both of us are musical, both of us enjoy writing works of furry fiction, him more successfully than me because he has two furry novels to his name. And both of us have a real appreciation for Japanese language and culture, and he's even been teaching me written and spoken Japanese over Skype for the past several months. Because of this, and the fact that he really helped me work things out when I was first finding out about my homosexuality, I really have grown to care about my friend over the 2 years that we've been talking online. The main issue that causes us friction is our situation with relationships. I am incredibly fortunate to have by chance met my mate over FA as a friend, and after several months of having known my mate as a friend, things evolved into the mushy, insane, and wonderful place that they are now. My friend in Tennessee has unfortunately not been very lucky. He's an incredibly sweet and trusting guy, and that's gotten him in some deep shit on several occasions, the most recent of which was him being cheated on by his now ex, and to top it off, his ex didn't disclose that he had HIV, and well, my friend got royally screwed over in more than one way. To make a longer story short, since he dumped his ex and started getting treatment for his STD, my friend started looking around on gay sites like Adam for Adam and even Grindr for potential boyfriends, and I've just been having alarm bells going off incessantly at him because scraping the bottom of the barrel in less than a month after getting cheated on and finding out about a serious STD is not going to end well at all. I've been trying to advise him to take a break and just get his own shit together and maybe trying to make some friends before going all out, but he just gets upset with me, and early today it got to the point where he blocked me on text. The place where I screwed up was when I persisted for longer than I should have after he told me he didn't want to hear anymore. I care about my friend and I was honestly trying to help him, but A, I persisted after he told me to stop, and B, I think I used my relationship with my husky as an example too much and it probably upset him, because the last thing he probably wanted to think about was someone who is happily with someone else. My question is this: what should I do about it? I haven't tried contacting him any other way, and I'm going to let it sit, but I really want to be there for my friend. And the recklessness with which he handles some things really upsets me and worries me. My friend has had a really hellish time, and this isn't the first time he trusted someone too much. I admit that I'm at fault of sometimes being a stubborn, arrogant bastard who can't let things be. I know he isn't a baby, but the prickly subject of relationships has put us at odds before, and I just want to find a way to get my friend back. I love your podcast, and I listen to it devoutly on my commute home from school, hoping for the best, a clarinet-playing tiger from California. Well, this is just my opinion, but I do believe that letting it chill for a little bit is probably for the best. Give him a few days to calm down, and depending on when you sent this, it has been a few days since. Ideally, I would write him an email, be genuine and apologetic, and accept the fact that you were kind of a dick. Not intentionally, of course, but your friend is not exactly in the best headspace right now, according to the story you've told. So at the moment, the best thing you can do is give him a little bit of space and apologize sincerely. Because, yeah, your friend's been screwed over. He's in a really bad situation and feels like the whole world's out to get him, probably. And since you're friends with this guy, you obviously care. So hopefully with a little bit of time and an apologetic email on your part, he'll unblock you and things can return to normal. Just, I would say, be more mindful of your friend's feelings in the future, especially on the relationship front, because he's, like you said, in a really bad situation. And I know when I was single many, 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 many moons ago, that hearing about other people's relationships made me feel pretty bad too. But hopefully you'll be able to patch things up with your friend. Just give it a little bit of time and let us know, because really, no friendship should end over something silly like this. And, well, that's it for this week. So you can always email us at notcast@foxsuffers.com. You can send us anon questions at notcast.tumblr.com. And generally, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Notcast. You can find me on Twitter at Savrin Drake, SavrinDrake. And I am now doing YouTube stuff. I have done Let's Plays of Freedom Planet. It is all the way finished. By the time this episode goes live, the entirety of the game will be available to watch. Up after that is Sonic CD in 5 parts, the first 3 being just a quick run-through of the game, and the last 2 parts being me getting 100%. Or at least getting all the good features to get the good ending. After that, I've been playing Sonic Adventure DX, which is not something that has aged gracefully, that is for certain. You can find my YouTube channel at youtube.com/c/SavrinDrake. You can find me on Steam with the ID SavrinDrake. I take suggestions for titles to play. The reason I'm doing a lot of the Sonic stuff right now is I've never honestly really played this series. So why not? Next week, we want to hear your FC reports. You can send them in after you survive the con. We want to know how it goes. Fuzz will be here, and Sheev will be here, hopefully, to do a show. And beyond that, I need to tell you about this week's item from AdamandEve.com. This week's item is a porn DVD, but not just any porn DVD. It's titled Pornucopia. It's 5 different adult parodies in one. This never-seen-before parody collection combines laughs with hot sex as it tackles hit movies and TV shows alike. It's a 2-disc set, 5 scenes, 150 minutes, and 67 bonus minutes. It is a compilation disc of parody porn. So, scene 1, in The Nobbit, Bubo finds the penis ring of power and gets deep-throated by Bottom before she mounts his sword for a fast-paced reverse cowgirl ride. The next scene's called Porks and Recreation. There's Sex Toy Story, the Rob Ford sex tape, and SpongeKnob SquareNuts 2. SpongeKnob SquareNuts 2. You know you want this. And if you use our coupon code NOT, that's KNOT, you'll get a whole bunch of bonus items with your order. And for every item sold, we get a small cut of it. Until we launch our Patreon, this is pretty much the only way that we get any sort of return on doing this show. Buy some dildos, buy some DVDs. And then, you know, we'll have a Patreon launch in a couple weeks. Until then, good night and big balls.